Let's say S before the word hit.
We'll just edit that out.
I didn't say that though.
Oh, okay.
Did it get recorded?
Anyway, yeah. I don't think
Ladies
so.
and gentlemen, if you hear something that comes out of our mouth on this podcast, we'll make
It
the
does not
recording.
rep
This
it
is
does
it.
not necessarily represent the opinions of us or us. Hey, welcome to Thin Line Believers. Hey, I am Adam. That is Michael. And maybe some cop stuff. I don't know. I don't know. Today, Michael had a topic picked out, but then we kind of went down a rabbit trail. So I thought, hey, let's just hit the record button because Michael was talking about a previous guest that we once had on here. I don't know. Did I tell you that, Michael, that we had him on here once?
No, you did not. This is before me joining, huh?
It is.
Oh
Yeah,
my
so
goodness, you did? When was
I
this?
did. This was probably 3 years ago. And so I interviewed him. And well, we might as well just chat about it. So we're talking about Ben Corson. Okay, so Ben has had, I don't know, has, I guess, a ministry, for lack of a better term, called Hope Generation. And he's been doing that for quite a while.
What happened?
This is making me cranky, dude. My computer just kicked me off for some reason. I don't even know why. It said something about not allowing me to use the, not allowing me to record or something. I don't even know, dude.
Oh, and it's still being recorded.
Yeah, and it's still recording, so it makes a whole lot of sense, doesn't it? Anyway, okay, let's just pick up where we were. We were talking about Ben Corson, okay? We interviewed him a few years ago. And
Are you going to edit all this out, or is this just going to be raw, like Jocko
I don't
podcast?
even know. I
That's
don't
funny.
know.
Leave it
I
raw.
don't know. We'll see how much time I want to put into this. But so I interviewed Ben. I did it myself. It was one of those, it was early on, so it was not a super high quality interview. It was like recording through my phone, right? It was just a phone call. Nothing special. But if you've ever watched one of Ben's short videos or whatever, he has a lot of different, like, I don't know if you'd call them catchphrases or whatever they are, but he memorizes these things. And so he kind of, he spits them out. It's very catchy. And the guy's got an awesome memory, obviously, way better than mine. So he's actually able to do this. But we're doing this interview and he's going through all these things. And so I tried to dig a little bit deeper, like, okay, well, how do you apply this stuff? Because we're talking about hope. How does somebody in my position, how do you apply that to your life? And he kind of did, he would spit kind of the same thing. And so I kind of ignored my discernment on that one because I thought, well, that's just kind of weird, But anyway, we just kept going and is what it is. And we just kind of dealt with it. But so here we are today. And I guess I'll let you talk about that little write-up and kind of what's been going on in the back in the past few, well, not few, but past year or so, probably.
Man, the question is, do we want to go down this rabbit trail? Like when you go on a hike and you commit to a trail and you're just like, do we do this? And if we do, we commit to it, right? But since we've never met,
Honestly, dude, we might as well.
yeah.
We might as
Well,
well, because
you
there's a
sent
good
this
lesson
name.
here.
You
There's a
sent this
good
name.
lesson here, brother.
It is. I think we're gonna only probably do this subject right now because the other subject of do we obey God or man is going to be on the side.
Yeah.
Having said that, I had my old friend Victor Marx on, who I haven't seen in like 20 years, and he's one of the few pastors. Really, he calls himself an evangelist now. A Taliban hunter, so to speak. And he's called out, Ben Corson for you know, being stupid. And just for those of you that are listening or watching, one of his buddies, Cameron, I forget his last name. I don't know if they're best friends or business partners, but he came out with a video. What was it? Live, Love Now. And talked about his relationship with Ben Carson. And he writes up a allegations that's been alleged against Ben Carson and all. And I'm not going to get into all that. And personally, you guys could, those that are watching and listening, you guys can listen to it. But Victor Marx is probably one of the few pastors that are calling out predators. And let me use that word because that's a language or a word, verbiage that we as first responders understand. Those of us that wear the badge or have worn the badge understand the terminology of a predator. Predator preys, right? And so there's some talk of Ben Carson having possibly mental health illness. And the basic story is there was multiple ladies that was alleging sexual allegations against Ben Carson because he utilizes position of influence to, hey, let me just phrase it like, get to first base, second base, third base. I don't know if a home run was hit, but I don't know. But whether it's first, second, third, or home run, it's foul. What was done was foul. Having said that, I think we should preface. We love Ben Carson. He's a brother in the Lord. He needs to get himself on the path of just taking care of himself and his walk with the Lord. Having said that, you and I, we have great admiration for John Carson, right? And so, but obviously Ben using his ministry, you know, hooked up with some girls, that was inappropriate. And having said that, he was a predator that was preying on the vulnerable. And if you're listening, I'm not using the word prey, P-R-A-Y. It's P-R-E-Y, right? Prey. He was preying, P-R-E-Y, on the vulnerable. Girls that looked up to Ben Carson as this attractive young guy wearing skinny jeans. And like you said, it all makes sense. He would memorize these phrases or one-liners. And the Carson family has been blessed with that memory. I know John Carson, having dealt with them one-on-one personally, that guy can recite things from memory. And it comes, I mean, now he's a little older, but, and I know that has passed on to Ben. Now, he has a ministry called Hope Generation. Obviously, you've interviewed him. I've never have. I've only known him as a kid when I went to Bible college with this, you know, older brother, Ben, you know, I mean, Peter John. And Peter John was completely different. He was very, very more like his dad, you know, had the voice like his dad. Ben doesn't. I think wearing the skinny jean doesn't help. But,
yeah.
But obviously, you know, and we could relate to what you and I have done, where you're still in it, I'm out of it. But when we wear a uniform, it's a position of power, and we have a lot of influence. And we can walk into a restaurant, a fast food place, a coffee joint in our uniform with our hand, you know, fingers in our outer carrier vest, and we're standing there waiting for our iced Americano. And you can tell people are looking. It's a position of power. You know, kids are looking at you like, And you can say, hey, how's it going, buddy? Fist bump. And he's just like, what? That's cool. Right? But there's a lot of guys, just for example, three dudes, I forgot what city and state, were caught on video pummeling a suspect. He's down on the ground. Got it. Come on, guys. It's 3-1. Lay him down, cuff him, tase him if you need to be. But now you're on video, straight out punching a dude, kicking him, kneeing him. And I'm just like, this is why police gets a bad rap. You got idiots like them. And I get it. They're in an adrenaline rush. We can't come to conclusion. But the position of power and the position of influence comes with whatever job or description, right? Like, as a police officer, when you see someone with stripes, oh, okay, he's a sarge. Cool, cool. You know, and then when you come up and you see guys with little stars, you're like, they got more power, more influence. And I think what Ben did, and again, this is not casting judgment. We don't want a Monday quarterback. There's still a lot of things going on that's probably not out in the open yet. But obviously, Ben's now back out on social media, on YouTube, doing some interviews with his dad. Is it like one of those, hey, let's sweep it under the rug. Nothing happened. Shh, there's nothing to see here, folks. But then when you got so many people coming out, you know, alleging this and that. It's kind of like, you know, Jeffrey Epstein, right? He used his position of influence on young girls. And I mean, obviously Epstein did worse, but my thing is, I think once you prey on the vulnerable in the position that Ben's in, should he even have a ministry? Should he even have a position of leadership within a church? You know, is who he is as part of the Corson name. If he didn't have that name, would he have that notoriety to begin with?
Yeah, well, so I just finished Visioneering, the book, right? And, you know, we talked about the author of that one a little bit, and regardless of where we stand on him, it's interesting that he wrote this chapter about moral authority and influence. And to kind of sum it all up, it takes a lifetime to build that up, your moral authority and your influence, but then you can lose it in a moment. You know, in a single action, you can lose it. And it doesn't sound like this is necessarily the case here. You know, it sounds like this was an ongoing thing, like it wasn't just a single incident. But it seems as though Ben Corson has lost his moral authority and the majority of his influence. I mean, he certainly lost it with me. And Moses lost it when he struck the rock.
Good point. Good point.
It happens. Now, granted, I am not comparing Ben Corson to Moses. There's no way I'm going to compare Ben Corson to the writer of the Pentateuch, right? Yeah.
I don't think he wore skinny jeans.
I don't think he wore pants at all, probably, but tunic. But, you know, the point is you can get to a place where you're no longer useful by God. And for law enforcement, the scary part is a lot of police officers have a hard enough time going to church as it is. But then if we have to deal with this, you know, if we're seeing that this guy has no more moral authority and no more influence, you're not winning over souls, man. You're doing more damage to the kingdom than you are good. Mm-hmm. And it's the same in law enforcement. Like you say, you know, one guy can cause a lot of issues for an entire profession.
Yeah.
I mean, look what happened in 2020. I don't think we need to revisit that because that sucked, but
yeah. I think what you're saying is huge with, you know, more authority. You know, now that I'm in the ministry full time, pastoring a church, you know, I always keep in mind the scripture says that pastors will have a stricter judgment, right? And,
yeah.
And it's applicable to the first responders, you know, the thin line, because we raised our hands, we swore an oath to God and the Constitution of the United States and whatever state that we're living in. And we have put ourselves in the position of being in a, you know, having a better, or I don't want to use the word pedestal that we're higher, but we're setting a better standard, so to speak. And for example, and I'm sure you can chime in on this, and for my analogy, when an officer or firefighter kind of screws up, right? They get docked administrative pay or pay unpaid leave, blah, blah, blah. And then as commanders are talking about this, you know, Officer John Doe, hey, this guy's kind of risky, or Firefighter John Doe's kind of risky. What should we do? He's a great member when it comes to the actual work, right? And but at the same time, if he deals with the public, could he tarnish the department? But he's a good dude. Commander's like, all right, cool. We can't put him back up in the streets, but let's give him desk duty. But what first responder wants desk duty, right? Nobody does. And so you get to a point where you're like, you know what, let's put him in, let's say, the shops. He can work on cars. Let him in charge of the uniforms. Let's put him in charge. That way you take this member, you're caring for them because you've built up a relationship, you're a friend. You're like, hey, I can't have you wear a badge and a gun, a badge and an axe, and represent the public because you're not representing our institution, our department. But having said that, man, we're brothers. And because I care for you and I don't want you to be on the streets without a job, let me give you this option, right? And the option is you got to go into the back office and just hide. Maybe in time, 5, 10, 15 years from now, where there's a sign of brokenness, right? Where I know God uses broken people. I know you've been there. I know I've been there. I've been broken many a times. And then the brokenness is like, finally, I can mold you and shape you and use you. Is there brokenness on Ben's part? We don't know. Obviously, we're not friends, but we can judge the fruits of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
If there's genuine brokenness, why is he coming back out on social media? You know, I would have taken a position of, hey, I would have put out one statement. Hey, this is Ben Corson, founder of Hope Generation. I just want to let you know I am going to take unspecified, undetermined amount of time to restore my own heart and walk with the Lord. So Hope Generation is going to be placed on hold. That doesn't diminish Jesus Christ in the messages, if you still wish to listen to it. But I will not actively partake or engage in speaking platforms or social media. And I would have taken a position with accountability with a pastor that you can respect or a ministry you can respect. Maybe even move out of Oregon, completely out of dad's shadows. Go to a place you're not recognized, right? Go to a place that no one knows you. Stop wearing skinny jeans. Wear normal jeans. Grow your hair out, whatever. Grow a facial beard, mustache like Adam. And love the Lord, right? Because what did King David say? Against thee and only thee have I sinned, right? So the sin is literally against the Lord. But at the same time, your sin was, you know, I was talking to another friend of mine, kind of on this topic. You know, when it's alcoholism, it affects us. When it's drug, it affects the individual. When it's gambling, a little bit of affecting the family, but ultimately, you make the money, you spend the money on gambling, it affects you. But when it's like sexual sin, that affects another person, right? And like you said, I think you brought up a great point, the moral authority, because, you know, guys that have position of power, guys like T.D. Jakes, okay, I don't agree with this theology, I don't agree with who, you know, what he does. That brother is not handsome, in my opinion, okay? But he's got three things, SMP, sex, money, and power. And there are some women that are out there to look for those three things, sex, money, and power. You look at athletes that are just downright not handsome. And next to them is this wife. You're just like, really? That's because they don't care about the looks. They want sex, money, and power, right? I think some of these girls, and I'm not blaming them in any way, these are young, vulnerable girls that looked at Ben like, wow, he's got power, he's got authority, and he's got money, you know? And these girls probably like, I don't like the fact that he wears skinny jeans and I will change that when he marries me. But on the flip side of it, and I'll just share my honest opinion. Ben Corson, you're a good looking kid, minus the skinny jeans and your skinny arms. I know you got divorced, but dude, you could have probably picked any girl in almost any church that you spoke at and say, I'm praying, I still want to get married, can we court? And in that courting, go to the parents, the dad especially, I'm in love with your daughter. I would like to court her. And in courting her, I would like to be accountable, because I'm a national speaker, I would like to be accountable to a couple of pastors. Right? What happens when an officer screws up driving, screws up a shooting, firefighter with a hose, firefighting? You go through what's called remedial training. You've been an FTO. You sat on the right seat where you're like thinking, man, just like, oh, rookie. And you had to do the hard decision. Hey, you're a good dude, but we need to work on your driving. We need to work on your shooting. We need to work on your, you know, situational awareness. Did you not see that semi blow by? You almost went in, you know, kind of type of thing. And I think for Ben, if he's willing, right? Guys like Victor Marx, who's going to be in your face and be like, dude, Ben, holster your weapon. Holster your weapon, buddy, until you get married again. Right? And, but the thing is Ben willing to have that accountability. Right? You and I do it distantly through phone calls or through, you know, our video chats before we record our podcast. Like, how was your week? And we have that point of, you know, just like, hey, I'm struggling with this, I'm struggling with that. What do we do? I still remember the day when I was in Colorado, you told me, and I totally forgot about it, but you reminded me, make working out an act of worship to the Lord. I still remember that. So every time I work out, I'm going to honor you, Lord, right now on this evil bike called Echo Bike. Right? But it's an act of worship, and partly due to the fact that you reminded me in an accountable way, honor the Lord in your workout, right? And so the devil bike, I've been using that Echo Bike almost every day. I've fallen in love with the pain.
Nice.
I've been doing 21:59 for 3 to 5 rounds, or 100 calories. Nice work. You know, And my garage is hot, bro. Right now it's probably like 100. But I've been disciplining myself to embrace the pain and to make it an act of worship, right? And can Ben be restored? Yes. Can that brother come back to a position of more authority? Possibly. And I brought up King David, King David was who? He was a shepherd boy. He liked sex because he had a lot of ladies. But he still is a person who's a man after God's own heart, right? Where's my book? The Making of a Man of God, right? Right here. Study of David. And so sometimes I think the church, we're out there casting some of these guys completely out and say, you're unusable, no more. I would like to think, like, just like we do in a first responders setting, let's try to restore a brother, right? That's a biblical principle. Restore a brother. But at the same time, brother, why are you with this girl again? We saw you at Starbucks with her. Oh, saw you at Dutch Brothers with another lady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not just Jim Joe Schmo that no one knows you. People are going to see you on the streets of Oregon. I'm like, that's Ben Corson. They are going to take a video or a photo of you. And it's coming into my inbox. And I'm your accountability partner or brother. What's going on? Right? And so I want to see Ben Corson restored. I really do. Now, should he be restored to a public limelight where he's back into the public and be like, not for a while. But I love Pastor John Corson. I've been seeing recommendations from YouTube, ScrewTube, of Ben and John. And part of me wants to watch it. Part of me doesn't want to watch it. Because I get that John and Tambell wants their son restored. But at the same time, I don't think they should be bringing Ben back into public life for a long time. Because there needs to be that restoration that takes place. And I'll say some comments and I'll leave it back to you, Adam. I just taught on Saul the terrorist of Tarsus getting knocked off the horse by a bright light who's Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, why do you persecute me? And he says, who are you? I am Jesus, right? Saul was blinded for 3 days. And in those 3 days, scriptures tell us in Acts chapter 9, I believe verse 9, he says that for 3 days he didn't eat or drink. And I have this principle that I tell myself due to the fact that Jesus was buried for 3 days, 3 nights. Jonah was in the belly of a whale for 3 days, right? And I think with issues, with life issues, commit to prayer, commit to fasting for 3 hours, 3 days, 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, maybe 30 years for Ben. I don't know. But at minimum, if you did 3 years, let's say, for 3 years, I'm not going to touch social media. You know, and he's kept accountable. And for example, I know a lot of people when David Hawking fell, not as bad as Ben. Pastor Chuck took some time and restored him back to ministry. And over time, David Hawking proved himself to be back in that, you know, like you said, moral authority. I wish Brother Ben would have consulted with some really, really good leaders like Victor Marx and did what he said. Or outside of his dad. I mean, obviously his brother's not around to counsel with. His brother-in-law, I really get outside of your bubble. Because, you know, Ben Corson's been all over the country. He probably could have called someone and said, hey, look, I screwed up. Can I move over to your town, your city? I need to be restored. I don't want any position of I don't want to be on a camera. I don't want to be on a mic. I want to just be behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine Paul persecuting the church, and for 3 days, such trauma that he experienced. Remember, he's arresting men and women who followed the way, Jesus Christ, because he thought he was doing God's business. And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks or the goats. And what Ben did to is ultimately he was kicking against the goats for himself. What I wish he would have done is he should have been blinded by the forgiveness of Jesus Christ the light and have taken 3 years of just being restored. And maybe even picking a different career path. Maybe writing a book on his experience of destroying women's lives. You know, because the fact of the matter is, there's predators in the church and he was one of them. Right? Much like cops and firefighters. What the public doesn't understand is all the, you know, these all the cops are the same. We hate bad cops.
Mm-hmm.
We hate bad firefighters. And I wish it was the same for the church. But the problem is the church and the pastors don't speak about it. Oh, you know, we don't like to speak, you know, evil or public. I'm just like, well, I mean,
yeah. Come on. I don't know, man. I mean, Paul told the church at Corinth to give one of theirs over to Satan for to be
destroyed.
You know, destroyed, and then they could restore him. I don't know. We cannot put up with that in law enforcement. I don't know why we would put up with anything like that in the church. I mean, is there just a lack? I don't know. Maybe I'm too harsh because I'm a cop, or maybe there's a lack of zeal, because I tell you what, I've got a zeal for things of the word, and it really rubs me the wrong way if somebody's taking the Lord's name in vain, because if you're claiming to represent the Lord. And maybe it's because, you know what? I did. I kind of followed some of Ben's stuff. I kind of followed some of Ravi Zacharias' stuff. And then, you know, the main difference is Ravi's dead. And Ben's not.
Yeah.
But that gives Ben an opportunity.
Yeah.
But I don't know. There's... If you do this in law enforcement, if you violate the public's trust in law enforcement, you're done.
Yeah.
Go do something else. And I'm not saying that Ben can't be part of the church, but in my opinion, he shouldn't be leading the church. He should be serving the church. I mean, that's what he should have been doing to begin with. But, yeah, I agree with you. He shouldn't be in a leadership role at all, because that reflects on Applegate.
And so. In addition to that, I'll say this. Obviously, he's not going to be doing anything at Applegate. He's under the covering of his dad's name, John Corson. Having said that, he's now put himself to be a position of like the Dennis Rodman in churches, if you know what I mean. He's tainted himself, right? So, you know, it's like I always say, you never know how good a tea bag is until it's in hot water. He's been in some hot water.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got different type of tea leaves inside his bag, right?
Yeah.
Obviously, let me say this as a man. Ben Corson is addicted to sex, right? Because he liked hooking up. So... And on a physical trainer's realm, the more you sleep with other people, the more you've allowed yourself to be vulnerable for STDs, right? Sexual transmitted disease. And obviously Ben, after his wife, he had a release. Whatever it is, he was addicted to that. And because he's marked and he's tainted like Dennis Rodman, you know, or Colin Kaepernick, whatever, he has a very, very little chance of getting back, in my opinion, to full-time ministry. But there are some stupid people out there. Even dumb pastors could be dumb, I'll admit. There's going to be pastors out there that are like, well, I have this salary to hire this guy. Maybe he could be my youth pastor. And there's young ladies, right? But I could hire him on to be maybe my young adult pastor or the pastor of influence, whatever. And I'm scared and sad to say there's probably a pastor that's willing to take the risk, give him the salary that he wants. Minimal platform. But I think it's going to take a guy, you know, like Raul Reese, who's, he's a Marine. He's going to take you, right? And discipline you. Maybe Ben Corson needs to have a complete career change. Like you said, you know, you have one opportunity to represent. And if you lose that, you know, morally, you're done. Your career's done. You know, like if you look at all the careers of the Rodney King beating of LAPD, they never got back into law enforcement. Although they got a book deal and all that stuff in there, right? But what they wanted to do their whole life, they didn't get to do because of, you know, their stupid decision. I really want Ben to be restored, to be honest with you. I really do. And I hope that he reaches out to somebody that is willing to restore. Maybe it doesn't have to be in the Applegate, Calvary Chapel circle of influence. Maybe it's someone else, you know, maybe it's someone that had the limelight and failed and needs to be restored. Will that happen? I have no idea, you know, but if Ben continues on this route of coming back to the public limelight, there's going to be people that love him. There's going to be people that's going to listen to him, you know, and you know, you brought up Ravi Zacharias. I haven't heard that name in a while, but someone asked me, the people that got saved through Ravi Zacharias' ministry, are they saved? And I was like, what the heck kind of question is that? I never even thought about that. But then the reality is, if God could use a donkey, God could use anybody to save a soul. But I agree with you, like Paul, like you said, Paul, that the body might be destroyed and the soul be saved. And I genuinely hope that, you know, Benny can be restored for his own purpose and for his sake. And something that he could still honor God with. Mm-hmm. And my thing is this, it's like, you have a brother. I have a couple of brothers. And you just have to have that brotherly talk. It's like, dude, you, what are you doing? Smack. Like, seriously. What are you thinking? And have that heart-to-heart talk. You know? Because why? As a genuine blood brother, no matter how stupid they are, you still want to love them over, right? It's not like he committed murder. He committed atrocities where he's a serial killer. Can Ben be restored? Yeah. Do I want to see him restored? Yeah. But not in, you know, the public limelight. I mean, like you, I didn't get to interview him, but my kids like listening to Ben because he's younger. He can wear capris with Vans with no socks on, not a Bible. Hold the phone, memorize everything, and, you know, pump out messages. Mm-hmm. And they're like, hey, Dad, why can't you teach like that? I was like, because I don't want to wear skinny jeans. You know how funny that'll look? But I don't know. I don't want to beat the horse.
Oh, I think we did. Yeah. That's all right. Point of all this is, if you lose your moral authority, it's going to be pretty tough to minister to other people. But you know what? If you're a new Christian, of course you're going to have your struggles. We all have our struggles. That doesn't mean you hide it because you don't think that you think that somehow that excludes you from spreading the gospel. That's not true. This is life, and all of us mess up, and we need to come together, and we need to hold each other up, and we need to build each other up. You know, when I don't remember who they were battling, Michael, maybe you can help me out on this, but anytime Moses' arms would come down, the Israelites would start to lose, right? So he ended up having, I don't remember who it was, Joshua was on one side, and there was some, maybe it was Aaron. Was it Aaron?
Caleb.
Caleb on the other side that held his arms up?
Is that Caleb and Joshua?
So anyway, they held his arms up so that he could, you know, so that the Israelites would win the battle. And I know it's a funky picture. It's an Old Testament thing, right? But the point is this, we need to hold each other up because we're all in the same battle together, right? But if somebody loses their moral authority without humility, they're not going to be able to be restored. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the missing ingredient here. Be humble. You know, the Bible says to walk humbly before your Lord, humbly before God. Mike, I was thinking about this earlier today. I want to finish this off, but I want to finish this off with the gospel. So Romans says to acknowledge that you're a sinner and that you need a savior. If you don't acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a savior, you're going to think that you can do it on your own anyway. But you have to acknowledge that you are a sinner. And then Romans 5, I think it is, says, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It demands relationship with Christ. That's really where the saving grace is, right? Believe in him. And if you truly do believe in him, it causes a desire for a relationship, right? And call on his name and you'll be saved. And then to follow that, once you've been saved, it's time to repent. And repent just means to change your mind about sin. So that's the gospel right there. If you've never done that, it's that simple. Just call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Get yourself a Bible. Figure out what he's all about. And join us. Join us on the good side. Anything, Mike?
You know, the thin line seems to get thinner. You know, and you know, and my final thoughts is in training, we work at and strengthen that which is weak to us. And whether it be, you know, at the firing range as a cop, whether it's an axe work as a firefighter, learning how to use an axe. And it's your peers that look on, and we could see from our view, you have deficiencies. You need to practice, work on this, right? You've been a breacher. I've done breacher work. And that's a lot of fun, right? But it takes some power and repetition. And mm-hmm. My encouragement, Adam just shared about getting right with God and knowing Jesus Christ. My thing is, if you know Jesus Christ, as Pastor Chuck Smith would always say out of the book of John, abide in Christ. I think staying connected to the vine is one of the most important things that we could do in these last days. Because if we're disconnected from the vine, you're being disconnected from the life source. Like a baby to a mom. We need to be connected with the Lord in such a way that that connection's being protected. And I want to really just speak out to those that have maybe backslidden, maybe that have walked away from the Lord. And for our listeners, if you're just listening, there's no sin besides the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, but there's no sin that God cannot forgive you of. God can forgive you of any and all sin except the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. There's consequences. Don't get me wrong. But can God forgive you? Can God restore you? And you go to heaven? Yes. That's the beauty of grace, right? God's unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of God. Grace. That's it.
Cool. Awesome. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he turn his countenance towards you and give you peace. God bless, folks. We'll see you next time.